Even mature, faithful Christians are sometimes tempted to look at a natural calamity and draw the conclusion that the victims must have been pretty sinful for God to have brought such a disaster upon them. And what if it's not a nation, but an individual? Someone you know is going through a real storm. Have you thought to yourself, gee, I wonder what they did to deserve that punishment? And in your own lives, have you ever caught yourself thinking in the midst of a trial, in the midst of great pain and suffering, what did I do this time, God? What did I do? Disasters, wicked deeds, this stuff happens all the time in a world gripped by sin. When these things happen, we may think that God must be punishing evil sinners, and he's exacting retribution for the sins committed against him. The reason there is evil in the world is because creation is in the bondage of sin and has been since the transgression of our first parents. Sin makes for deadly tsunamis, earthquakes, famines, floods, and droughts. Creation is a far, 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 far cry from what it was in Eden before the fall. When we see these things happen, we are prone to seeing them through the lens of the law. Meaning, for every sin against God, there must be a punishment, and God is the executor of such punishment. The self-righteous person has no problem with any of this, because the self-righteous person does the exact thing Ezekiel warns against. He looks for righteousness in himself. He is not afraid of the law of God and even believes he can fulfill the law's demands, and so he has no need to worry about the law's condemnation and judgment. It's those who don't keep the law, the really bad sinners, those are the ones who get all the wrath. The self-righteous person is comfortable with this type of thinking because they are blind from seeing the depths of their own sin. It was a problem the Pharisees had. It's a problem today. But, Christian friends, it is a delusion to think God's law and his punishment falls only on sinners worse than yourself. The scriptures are clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's righteous, perfect law pins all of us to a corner, and we cannot rely on ourselves. The playing field is level before our God, as Jesus teaches in the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus doesn't accept the conclusion that the falling tower in Siloam that killed 18 people and the blood of people just worshiping God mingled with the blood of sacrificial animals means that those people were worse sinners than those who escaped such a fate. The Lord Jesus does not entertain that conclusion because not only is it false, but teaching people that bad things only happen to really bad sinners would have only ignited more self-righteousness among the people. If it happened to them and not me because they're worse sinners than I am, well, that must mean I'm doing pretty good. Friends, that type of thinking is the exact opposite our Lord Jesus calls us to have. Jesus did not come into this world born of a virgin, and he did not humble himself by taking on the form of a servant, only to puff us up and drive us to look to ourselves for righteousness. He calls people to repentance and faith. Every sinner God loves and cares for, and he is always calling sinners to repentance. Unless you repent, you all likewise will perish, says our Lord. Repent in faith and trust in your God. This is what our gracious Lord calls us to repent, to turn from our sin, and look unto the God of our salvation. In Ezekiel, the Old Testament, Ezekiel, God's prophet, calls the people to repentance. God says through Ezekiel that he does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and live. So repentance and faith, that is not just a New Testament doctrine, but it is a doctrine that runs throughout Scripture, as God is always calling his people to repent and look to him as the God who saves sinners. Most of you have probably heard this before. Still, it's not terribly difficult for even the mature adult Christian who still carries sinful flesh to look down at others and their plight and think, ugh, glad I'm not like them. Well, that works for a while until something bad happens in your life. And when that happens, when the suffering begins to rain and it pours, how do you respond? Satan would have you believe that your sins are the reason that God's wrath is pouring down upon you, and since you are suffering, that must mean you are forsaken and cut off. And the scary thing about that satanic accusation is, you know down deep in your heart that you have sinned against God, and so maybe, just maybe, Satan is on to something. Maybe he is right, and my sins have condemned me, and that's why the suffering is so intense. You ever had thoughts like that? Dear friends, let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ did not bleed, suffer, and die only to leave you in your sin. Satan can and he will accuse you, but his accusations are empty. They are empty. Why? Because Jesus on that very Good Friday atoned for every single one of your sins, big and small, so Satan has nothing to accuse. The sins, your sins, have been absorbed by Jesus, every last one of them. God declares you innocent precisely because he sent his Son to snatch your sins and be a loving, gracious sacrifice at the cross. His blood pays the price fully, a price we cannot pay. Regarding the tower at Siloam, which fell and killed 18 people, and the mingling of the blood during a worship service, to that Jesus says, repent. That may sound a little harsh, but when Jesus calls the people to repentance, that is not God saying, try harder, do a better job next time, and you will escape. You won't perish. Jesus is not saying, do a better job keeping the Ten Commandments, and then maybe you'll make it to heaven. To repent isn't do more laws of God and score more brownie points, and if you're good, God will open his courts to you. That's not at all what our Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to do. To repent means to undergo that change of mind by which a sinner realizes her sinful, dreadful, helpless condition and thus turns to God for help and believes in his mercy and his love that is yours in Jesus. You see, friends, to repent is the exact opposite of looking to the self. It's despairing of the flesh and looking to Christ and clinging to Christ. Pay attention to Jesus, and you will not perish. Believe in Jesus, and you will not perish. He is your Lord and your God, by whom your sins are put away, and you have eternal life that not even suffering can strip from you. trials and tribulations should cause us to repent, as we are no better than those suffering these things. But in Christian repentance, we acknowledge our need for grace, and we look unto Jesus, who humbled himself to the point of death, to save us and comfort us, even in those times when things are so dark, you do not know where you are going. God speaks, you will not perish. You belong to me. You will not taste eternal death, even in the throes of your hardest temptation. Jesus is there. Have you ever been tempted by something, and the temptation was so severe and heavy that you thought to yourself, surely no one on the face of the earth has had to deal what I deal with? And maybe some of you right now are locked in a battle with a feeling that you know is wrong, but you suppress it and you hide it. But your Christian conviction and faith drives you into battle with this temptation. Those are painful moments. I know you've heard the phrase, God does not give you more than you can handle. And what I think that is a vague paraphrase of what we heard in the epistle from 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says this: no temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and, listen up, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Dear Christian friends, any temptation is always more than you can handle. If it wasn't, there would be no need to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. We pray that and should pray it every day, that God protects, rescues, and delivers us from those powerful temptations that grip us. Repent and believe. Repent. Look to Jesus. Your temptations are not uncommon, whatever they may be. We hear it from Scripture. They are not uncommon to man. Look unto Christ, your escape from sin, death, and temptation. Look to Jesus, by whom he promises you will endure this life because of being baptized into his holy name. And when a trial hits you hard, throwing your world into a tailspin, the certainty you have isn't in trying to find out why God has put such a burden upon you. But the certainty you have is being baptized into the one who already bore the burden. And he promises you that you will not perish because he died to redeem you, to forgive you, and to make you one with him. And he declares unto you, your life now and forever is in his hands. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.